This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, your Son in so many ways speaks to each of us, telling us to follow him. And we pray today, Lord, that in whatever way you are calling us to do that, you will give us the grace and strength to heed your call. In his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. I always wanted to be a bass, and God has given me that voice this morning. We have a story about commercial fishermen today. And there is a certain image that comes to mind when we think of that type of person, a commercial fisherman, certain personality type. Well, rather than talk about it, it's Fourth Sunday, let's go to the movies. Let's see some commercial fishermen from the movies.
I'm not crazy. And since I am not crazy, I don't care what anybody thinks. The rich have radios on their boat, and they listen to baseball. Now is not the time to think of baseball. You have to think of only one thing. The fish.
You all know me. Know how I earn a living.
Thank you very much, Mr. Quint.
This shark, swallow you whole. Shaken, tenderizing.
Thank you very much, Mr. Quint.
But it's not going to be pleasant. I value my neck a lot more than $3,000, Chief.
All right. That's private business between you fishermen and Mrs. Kentner.
You got to make up your minds.
Yes, we are.
$10,000 for me by myself. For that, you get the head, the tail, the whole damn thing.
We'll take it under advisement.
Mr. Mayor, Chief, ladies and gentlemen.
Bring in your fish. I'm going to bring you more fish than you ever dreamed of.
I'm trying to encourage you to catch fish.
I don't know. Maybe I smell like fish.
I always find the fish.
That's where the fish are.
We got 60,000 pounds of fish here.
What images or thoughts come to mind when we see those images of what I found on the web, the most famous five fisherman movies in American history? Stubborn. Stubborn. Focused. They won't let it go. Whether it's an Ahab who won't give up on catching that whale, whether it's the stubbornness of a Quint in Jaws, whether it's those fishermen in The Perfect Storm who are so focused on catching this enormous load of fish that they get into harm's way. These images come to mind of these commercial fishermen who just are so focused and so stubborn, they will not listen to anyone. Could you imagine any one of those people you just saw on the screen having someone come up to them in the midst of what they're doing and saying, come and follow me and I'll help you fish for people? Could you imagine any one of them dropping their nets, dropping their fishing line, dropping their swords and their spears, and going and following Jesus? This is precisely what happened in the gospel today. Do not miss the utter significance and power of what Matthew's understated words are. And they left their nets and they followed him. That is amazing. Why would they do that? Now, those of you who were at the 9:30 service last week had Bishop Friday's sermon. Those of you that were at the other three services, I played a CD, a DVD, a video of Rob Bell talking about this very call. And if you missed it, Rob Bell's point as to the why had to do with the fact that this was an incredible opportunity for these disciples, these future disciples. That they had already passed the age that they would have been chosen to be a rabbi's disciple. They didn't make the cut. They weren't the best of the best. And when a rabbi comes along and says, I want you to follow me, it would be as if he was saying to them, I believe that you have within you the ability to learn what I know so that you can do what I do. An incredible compliment. It was one of the most respected positions in society to be a rabbi. So to be a disciple of the rabbi, wow, what an incredible confidence and compliment that would be being placed in these disciples who had missed the cut already. That's one possibility, that maybe that's what was going on and why so immediately they went and followed him. But there's some other possibilities. Some scripture scholars say that, well, there must have already been a relationship that Jesus had with these people, Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And they already had this attraction to him, to follow him, and just they became the moment when they actually did it. Did you ever think, though, that perhaps the reason they were willing to do it is just because they were lousy fishermen? Maybe they just weren't good at what they did, and this was a chance to get out of a horrible job. I mean, we've been there before. You get stuck in a job, and just, how am I going to get out of this? And finally, something comes along, and boom, you're out of there like a flash. Well, maybe it wasn't that. But maybe there was something deep within them, that there was this sort of discontent, an unfulfilled part of their life. And this was giving them the opportunity to have a second chance to fulfill a dream. It could be a combination of all those things I just mentioned. But there's something that's important, I think. Do you think they truly had a real idea of what they were committing to? I don't think so. Our own experience would bear it out. I mean, almost 10 years ago, I signed a letter of agreement to become the rector of this church. You think I had any earthly idea what I was going to go through in these 10 years? Or what you were going to go through putting up with this rector for 10 years? Many of you are or have been married. When you came to the altar and committed yourself to that person for life, come on, did any of us have any true idea of what that was going to mean? You take a job and, you know, the real job description is what's not written on the job description, isn't it? And other duties as assigned. But the important point is we come to that point where we step out in faith and we make that commitment. Because there is something within us that with the grace of God, we know that is God calling us. And we step out and we do our best. And the important part is what comes next. The gospel ends not with the follow me, not with the just dropping their nets, but it says, and Jesus went, and he taught, and he preached the good news of the kingdom, and he healed the sick of every kind, and they were with him. This is what's important. they were with him. They continued to learn, not only from what they saw Jesus teach and Jesus do, but they were in relationship with him for those 3 years. And as they continued to watch and to learn, as they continued to try and to fail, they learned. And in that relationship, they kept that commitment because they grew together. I mean, we all know in a marriage, if we're not growing together, we're growing apart. If you're in a friendship, if we're not growing together, we're growing apart. And in our lives of faith, if we are not growing and in relationship with Jesus Christ, we are growing apart. Look at Peter. We just celebrated the confession of Peter last week as we celebrated the beginning of the octave of prayer for Christian unity. Peter, the first one who says, "You are the Messiah, the Son of God." And look at the roller coaster ride he went on. But he stayed in relationship with Jesus. When he started saying, "Jesus, this crucifixion business, stop talking about that," Jesus set him straight, and they stayed in relationship. When Peter denied him 3 times, he was forgiven. He cuts off the ear of the high priest's slave. Jesus puts it back on in this comical scene. He stays in relationship. And where does that story end in the Gospels? The story ends where Peter is jealous of that beloved disciple, and Jesus has that conversation, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." What are the last words in John's gospel that Jesus says to Peter? "Follow me." The exact same words that he begins the call with. "Follow me." Stay in relationship with me. That's what matters. We never truly know when we make a commitment what it means when we make it. But we sure grow into that as we continue to grow together, especially in our relationship with Jesus. Albert Schweitzer, very smart man, wrote a book called The Quest for the Historical Jesus. And he ends it with these words. He comes to us as one unknown, without a name, as of old by the lakeside. He came to those who knew him not. He speaks to us the same word, "Follow me." He sets us to the tasks which he has to fulfill for our time. He commands, and to those who obey him, whether they be wise or simple, he will reveal himself in the toil, the conflicts, the sufferings, which they shall pass through in his fellowship. And as an ineffable mystery, they shall learn in their own experience who he is. He's chosen us. He thinks we have what it takes. If only we are continue to learn from him, so that not only we will know what he knows, but so that we might do what he does. May we continue to follow him. Amen.